Let us pray. Shepherding God and guiding Spirit, in our lives you go before us, calling us to where you would have us go. Be the light on our path this day as we seek to move ever closer to you. We ask this in the name of our brother and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, let's say you're just going about your day. It's an ordinary day, maybe a Thursday, maybe the afternoon on Thursday. Not quite as good as a Friday, but much better than a Monday. You're doing whatever you normally do on a Thursday afternoon. Maybe you're working. Maybe you're knitting. Maybe you're quilting or woodworking. Or if you're really lucky, maybe you're napping. So far, it's been a regular Thursday afternoon, and you wouldn't have it any other way. Then, all of a sudden, a strange man bursts in the door and says, "Come on, let's go. We've got to gather the people." And as he waves for you to follow, he leaves. But what do you do? If you're napping, you might question whether or not you're actually even awake, wondering how this man even got into your home. But if you weren't napping, how would you react? How would you respond to this situation? Would you jump up, leave your needles or hammer or your desk behind? Would you follow this stranger? No questions asked. Probably not, right? Your instincts, when you hear this story, this hypothetical, tell you to keep doing what you're doing, and let that strange man go and be strange somewhere else. Let him be someone else's problem. But think about this for a minute. What would it take? What would have to happen for you to drop everything and go with him to gather all the people? Can you think of a situation, a possibility, where that would be your first instinct, to drop everything and follow this strange man, to leave everything that you know behind and journey into the unknown? It'd take a lot, right? Probably something more than him popping into your life and saying, "Hey, you, come here, I need your help," and then leaving. Well, in both our readings today, we have a very similar situation. In both, lives are forever changed because of how they respond to someone bursting in and saying, "Hey, you, come on." I'll start with the one that was just read, because all is not as it seems. What Marguerite read comes from the third chapter of the book of the prophet Jonah. And it opens by saying that the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. A second time. What happened to the first? We heard about it when we talked with the kids earlier, right? In the first chapter, when God first calls Jonah, the prophet is not so agreeable to the task. Fun fact, though, most of the time when God calls someone to do something, their first response isn't, "Yes, God, of course I'll do that." Often the first response of a would-be prophet is, "I think you've got the wrong number." But Jonah went one step further. He flat out said, "No, no way am I ever going to Nineveh. Find someone else, God." And then he got up and ran away, supposing that he could outrun God. It wasn't until after a terrible ordeal that he ended up on the shores of Nineveh and Jonah finally gave in. Now this situation is a little bit different from the one that I described earlier. This isn't some strange man bursting in and saying, "Come on, you!" This is God calling down, choosing Jonah for a mission. In this story, if you were Jonah, napping, knitting, crafting, would you drop everything and do what God has asked you to do? I mean, it's God, right? Might this be the criteria that would make leaving all that you know behind? Would it make that a little bit easier? Because at least you know that whatever you're doing, it's what God wants you to do. It's still a hard sell for me. And I don't feel too bad saying that because it was a hard sell for Jonah too. Our other reading, our gospel reading, is a different story altogether. And it's much less dramatic, at least in some ways. Here we have the call story of Simon, who's later known as Peter, his brother Andrew, and two other brothers, James and John. Set the scene for you. It's an ordinary day. Maybe it's a Thursday. Maybe a Thursday afternoon, not quite as good as Friday, but way better than a Monday. Simon and his brother Andrew are doing whatever they normally do on a Thursday. They're fishing. Then, coming along the shore, there's a stranger walking in their direction, coming right at them, actually. He stops on the shoreline and shouts out to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Now, if you hadn't heard this particular story 100 times before, and for the 101st time today, what would you have thought that Simon and his brother Andrew would do? And what about James and his brother John, who we find later in this reading doing the same thing, fishing, this time with their father Zebedee? I mean, as far as we're aware, James and John are Zebedee's only sons, because when they leave, all he has are the hired help. Surely they stay. Surely they work the nets with their father carrying on the business of their father and their father's father and his father before him. Surely they won't leave him alone on the boat. But this is exactly what they do, all four of them. Simon and Andrew, James and John. They drop all their nets. They leave their father. They leave their life behind and follow this man, this stranger, whose name they don't even know. What was it about him, do you think? What would cause these four men to say yes to a stranger, while so many prophets and leaders said no to God? It's tough because we have so little to go by. They don't have a lengthy conversation. Jesus doesn't do any teaching. And he doesn't even introduce himself. We can look at it and say maybe some parts were left out. Maybe it happened differently than we're reading. Maybe the time between Jesus calling them and the brothers throwing down their nets was actually longer than an instant. Maybe they hesitated. Maybe they questioned. Maybe they doubted. Maybe. We can guess, and we can suppose, and we can suggest all we want, but what we are given in the Gospel of Mark is pretty clear. Jesus calls, these fishermen answer. Though it wasn't said outright in the passage, there's clearly something special about Jesus, something that people noticed the moment that they laid eyes on him. Shepherds saw it on the night of his birth, and wise men saw it when they found him as a toddler. Philip saw it last week. Simon, Andrew, James, and John, they all saw it when Jesus called them. Let's pretend that what they saw, what was revealed to them, was a glimpse of the divine walking among them. So how does this call story differ from the previous one, the Jonah reading? The one where Jonah was called by God to go to Nineveh, first refused God, started to run away. What makes these two stories different? Any ideas? What's different about them? No ideas? One person alone calling them? Oh, one person as in Jonah being all by himself. That's a good one. Well, in the Jonah reading. All we have to go on is some disembodied voice. Yes, it's the voice of God, but this voice is asking Jonah to do something really hard, really scary. In the gospel reading, we have a man, still God, but walking around in the frame of a man. And he called these four fishermen to come and help him with the work that he had to do. It was going to be a hard task. One that would be fraught with hardship, persecution, ridicule, possibly death. They were being asked to risk a lot. But God was taking a risk too. By dwelling in the frame of a man, God, through Christ, would suffer every hardship just as keenly as the others. Jesus would suffer. Jesus would love. He would laugh and he would weep. He would bleed like any other human being and he would mourn the loss of a friend. And ultimately God, in this man Christ, would die. Maybe knowing that God was risking just as much as them was what caused Simon, Andrew, James, and John to drop their nets. Maybe knowing that their pain was God's pain, maybe knowing that their triumphs were God's triumphs, was all that they needed to say, yes, yes, I will follow you anywhere. So I ask you again, what would it take for you to drop everything and to follow this stranger, this strange man? It's probably still a hard question to answer. Maybe what we really need to ask ourselves is what draws us here in the first place. Why do we come here to this place at all? Why do we call ourselves Christians at all? Is it because we love the organ? Is it because of the beautiful stained glass? Is it because our parents were Christian and so we're Christians too? Is it because, well, I've always sat in this pew? Think hard on this. On what draws you to this place. Think about that moment. That moment where Jesus burst into your life and said, follow me. I need your help. Because the truth is, he does need our help. He's calling to you from that door back there. He's asking for you to come out, to help him, to follow him, to allow the Holy Spirit to move through you, to work through you. Now, we might not be there in the same way that he was for his first disciples. But he will laugh with you in joy. He will cry with you in sorrow. So let's go. Let's follow this stranger, this Jesus. Let's move with the Holy Spirit into the unknown and find out what God is creating. Just waiting for us. To drop our nets and say, yes, I'll follow you anywhere. Amen.